Do you have somebody in your life who loves books?
Somebody who not only loves books, but always wants to share what she's reading with you, thinking that you're going to love her latest selection.
And inevitably, you just can't stand that book that she suggested.
That's us. Mm-hmm. We both read a lot. Well, I don't even read. I listen. But we very rarely agree on what constitutes a good read.
I enjoy books that build up new worlds, invite magic and mystery into our lives. Science fiction and fantasy rule.
I listen to a variety, but it's all grounded in reality. You can keep your elves and space operas.
Welcome to our podcast, You're Making Me Read What? Your hosts on this monthly podcast are myself, Jessica, and my colleague, Christine. We're librarians who get a thrill out of a great book, but usually can't stand what the other person is reading.
We've each selected some of our all-time favorite books, and each month we alternate between the lists with the goal of persuading the other to enjoy a read she would never have picked up on her own.
Even a book that isn't entirely your style may have some redeeming qualities to it, right?
Maybe.
I guess we'll see.
There's really no spoiler for this.
I was going to say, I don't know that there's a lot of, like, twists, action-packed adventure.
No, although I would like a moment to clarify a remark I made. A moment of how lovely. When I was describing this book to you at the end of our last podcast, mm-hmm. I used a term that could very easily have been mistaken for being disrespectful. And mm-hmm. I want to set the record straight on that. I said it was kind of a woo-woo book. Mm-hmm. And what I meant by that was that it's introspective and philosophical mm-hmm. and thinky.
Thinky, yep. Technical term.
Another really respectful term. And anyway, if anybody took it to mean I was being disrespectful or flippant, I apologize. It would have been a very easy mistake to make, and it was a thoughtless way to put that. So,
I did not take it that way.
Okay.
Mainly because my grandma used the word
term,
woo-woo. The term woo-woo very frequently, but it was always with love.
Yes.
And this is not the book that we read this month, by the way, but my grandmother had a deep fascination with the book Chariot of the Gods.
Oh.
Do you remember that book?
I never read it. But
I cannot even remember the author of it, but it was all about, you know, some gentle existentialism around whether or not aliens helped create the Egyptian pyramids.
Right.
And she was just, she could not stop talking about it for this period of time when she read it for the first time. And so she would always say, like, you know, it's kind of woo-woo, but let me tell you about the research they uncovered. And you're like, I don't know. I'm at least double digits at this point, but not far beyond it. So I have very fond memories of that term and that book, which I eventually read, by the way.
Oh, that's funny.
Is definitely woo-woo.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, shall we? This book may or may not be woo-woo, but
no,
I'm going to remind people of the title. Mm-hmm. It's Pieces Every Step by Buddhist monk Thich Nhat Hanh. And so I did a little research. I've listened to this book multiple times. Mm-hmm. And this time I actually read it. And my poor husband, I know, that was a great reaction. Oof. I wish people could have seen your reaction. Yeah. The last 4 podcasts, I've had to read the book.
I feel like this is a great streak. And if we could find a way
to
keep
tired.
It going. You're so tired of using your eyeballs.
My eyes are like, stop, what's happening?
And I bet your ears are like, I'm so lonely.
I know, that's
how come
exactly,
nobody wants to make me listen
exactly
to good stuff?
What's happening.
Aww.
So,
sensory dysfunction, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Mm. I did not get the audiobook hold mm-hmm. on time. So I was able to pick up a copy of the book. And I will say that I enjoyed reading it because, again, the other times I have consumed it mm-hmm. has been through listening. And this was a different experience. So I think it was good that I was forced to read.
Was the reader the author?
No. Okay. No. I don't know who the reader was in, you know, with respect to the author.
Okay. I just wasn't sure. Because sometimes, like, I don't listen to audiobooks that often. Mm-hmm. But when I do, I find that I sometimes enjoy when the author reads it, like a Neil Gaiman book.
Uh-huh.
He's got the best voice, and it's delightful to hear the intonation that he always meant to have behind his words.
Yeah.
And then sometimes you listen to him, you're like, oh, this is maybe not the right career path.
This is why you're a writer.
Yes.
And someone else is a performer.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Take advantage of their expertise.
Yeah. And I get that you wanted to give it a try.
Yeah.
And I'm excited for you for that. Yeah. And let's see how the next one plays out. Let's bring in some hired guns.
Let's have a professional do it.
Yes.
So a friend of mine recommended this book to me maybe 12 or 15 years ago. And I enjoyed it. And so I have off and on for years and years thought about meditating, tried to meditate, mm-hmm. been somewhat successful meditating, mm-hmm. although I have a really hard time not thinking. You know, yeah. like that's the thing is everybody says, well, I just start thinking about something and then you have to push it away and get yeah. back into your loop of mindfulness. So this was helpful to me to kind of be forgiving and easier on myself when I mess up, and I'm using sure. scare quotes, meditating. Mm-hmm. And I finally just decided, you know what? If I fall asleep when I'm meditating, must have meant that I needed some sleep. So
a good nap is hard to find.
It is.
Well, and for folks who either missed it on the last time or who have never seen this, the subtitle of this book is The Path of Mindfulness in Everyday Life. Or if you said it earlier and I just totally
nope.
blanked out on
nope.
it.
No, thanks for doing that.
So this is not my typical genre of books. I yeah. don't read a lot of spiritual books mm-hmm. or wellness books or nonfiction, period. And it was kind of a fascinating journey for me just to read through it. So I normally take pretty extensive notes and I write down things about the author and things I want to talk about. I didn't do that this time. Mm-hmm. I just put postmarks on pages that I thought were interesting. And I do not practice meditation. Mm-hmm. I have never extensively tried other mm-hmm. than trying to fall asleep for a nap, which I'm very good at. I am very good at taking naps. And I think part of what confused me at the start of this book was there was like a foreword from the Dalai Lama, which mm-hmm. was really interesting to read. And then the author had kind of a chapter foreword where he was talking about why he brought this all together. Were these like lectures that
yeah.
he gave?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think that – so between – he died. He was fluent in Vietnamese, which is his native tongue, French, Chinese, Sanskrit, Pali, and English.
Overachiever?
Right.
Yes.
So I don't know in which languages any of these talks mm-hmm. were written, because I think they were delivered as talks.
Okay.
And so I think between the possibility that they were translated from another tongue mm-hmm. into English and the fact that they were intended to be delivered as talks, standalone talks,
yeah.
makes the flow mm-hmm. of the book sort of jumpy and weird.
It wasn't bad.
But the message is consistent.
Well, yeah, and they – so if these were lectures – and most of these, if you're physically reading the book, are maybe two or three pages.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Super duper short. And they clumped together ones that were similar. So there's a chapter about going and finding a breathing room. There's a chapter about walking meditation, about transit. You're driving a car and you're having meditation, which I think is dangerous. Don't do that. but the, like all these different – physicalities of how you would go about meditating. They kind of bundled those all together. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of effort made to, even though these were independent lectures or talk, he's like the ultimate pre-TED talker, that they tried to bundle it all together in the right spots.
Yeah.
I just, as I was starting to read it, like I got one chapter in and I was like, oh, it's two pages.
Right.
Okay, keep going.
Right.
Oh, this one was half a page. What's happening here?
Yeah.
And then I tried to talk some of it through with my husband. And he is also not a meditator or a Buddhist. And so then I went back to it by myself. But there were a lot of really interesting places in here. I actually liked – I read a little bit and did not take notes about his background, mm-hmm. about being a refugee, mm-hmm. about becoming a – whatever
– a monk?
Whatever a certified monk is. Like he was the grand monk.
Right.
Whatever the name of that was. When he was 16, yeah. like he knew his path super early.
Yeah.
This is what he wanted to do. This is what he believed in. This is how he wanted to teach people. And then he used some of his, it's not notoriety, his low-level
impact
mm-hmm. to make sure that he could go back and help people.
Yeah.
Like he went back to Vietnam. He went to other Southeast Asian countries to try and support people, both within kind of, you know, his Buddhist background and just teaching peace,
yeah.
which is nice. It's,
yeah.
it's hard to, I imagine it must be hard to go back to places that bring you suffering,
yeah.
but you do it on purpose because, like, there's a whole chapter in here about how suffering brings empathy.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I thought you mentioned his background. I thought I took a few notes, and just to give a little context, he was a Vietnamese Buddhist monk. He was born in 1926 and died in 2022 at the ripe old age of 95.
Champion.
So he was living right.
Yes, he was.
He founded Plum Village Tradition, which inspired something called engaged Buddhism. And that was his gig, was that it's not enough for us to think these things and to live this life. It's to bring it to other people.
Yeah.
And so he was, in my opinion, sort of a bridge between the spiritual world and the practical world, if you will. I know I'm oversimplifying. and trying to make what he thought of as the way accessible to people, to everyone. And Martin Luther King Jr. nominated him for the Nobel Peace Prize in 1967. Mm-hmm. He was exiled from Vietnam in 1966 after refusing to take a side in the war. Mm-hmm. And he was finally able to visit Vietnam in 2005 and return permanently in 2018 after suffering a severe brain hemorrhage. Mm. And after that brain hemorrhage, he was unable to communicate verbally for the rest of his life, which was another 6 or 7 years. Yeah. And he communicated via gestures and shaking or nodding his head. Mm. And I think this quote, if you'll indulge me, just makes me think that he was not only kind and amazing in his thoughtfulness, but also had a sense of humor, because in response to a student who wanted to build a stupa for his ashes after he died, Natan said, "If they insist on building a stupa, then they should have a plaque that says, 'I'm not in here.' But in case people still don't get it, they could add a second plaque that says, 'I'm not out there either.' And boy, if they still don't understand, then you write the third and last plaque that says, 'I may be found in your way of breathing and walking.'" So, good sense of humor, but he still wanted his message to get through.
He did. And you know what? Humor is the way sometimes.
Absolutely.
Humor is the way. Well, so there's not like an overriding theme to this book or a plot that we can discuss or
right.
like character writings, because so much of it was his efforts to proselytize his religion and his way of becoming more in tune with the universe. There were a ton of these little mini chapters in there about how we generally, as peoples, as humans, do not rectify the fact that we are not alone on this planet.
Right.
That, you know, the cover of the book is a dandelion. Mm-hmm. And it's a humble dandelion, and we all kind of ignore it, and you blow the seeds because it's funny, but you are mad that it's in your yard. But so much effort and energy went into creating that little piece of life, mm-hmm. and that little piece of life is not any more or less important than us. Just because we are here and we can talk about it doesn't mean
right.
that. And I really liked that part. That strongly resonated with me.
Yeah.
That even though I'm not going to go out and meditate and I'm not going to become a Buddhist, that there is this central tie between a lot of different kind of spiritualities that we should not consider ourselves to be alone. If you want to think that because you think there's one entity out there, or if you respect the earth that we live on, or just because you don't want to be lonely.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter.
Right.
The fact that there are other people out there, and that, you know, maybe you could find it through practiced breathing and kind of emptying yourself for other things. But maybe also you just like flowers, and that's okay too.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. What do you like about it? If you've reread this so many times, re-listened so many times, what do you
Correct.
Like most about it?
Well, there are some points that just really resonate with me. Like he points out that artists smile as they produce art. Because could you actually be angry producing something so beautiful?
So I don't agree with that, but okay.
Well,
I've seen some angry art out there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The art, yes.
The
there
art.
Could be angry art too.
Yeah.
But if you're creating something that's goal is beauty.
Yeah, oh, sure.
It would be hard to be angry and be creating something so beautiful. And
I like that.
I think that that's... that speaks to me as someone who does art or does crafts. I won't say art.
You could do arts and crafts.
Sure.
There's no need to segment yourself.
Okay, thanks. I also thought it was interesting. So this series of lectures was written, I think the book was published in 1991. So pre-cell phones, but TV certainly existed. And he talks about the telephone in general as a tool and really as an interruption. Or as an interruption that could be turned into a breathing tool. So every time you hear the phone ring, instead of rushing and racing to get it because it's someone else's convenience, you take your time and you breathe and you are introspective so that you're ready when you answer the phone. Because when you're ready, then you're going to be a better person to talk to. You're going to be happier. You're going to be more empathetic. You're going to be more open.
Yeah.
So that's kind of an interesting just twist on how I think most people respond to the phone ringing.
Well, and if you extrapolate that out, when he was writing or speaking, most of these probably was not predominantly in the time when you had a cell phone in your hand and many people are just mindlessly scrolling through social media feeds. And if you live your whole life in expectation of the next thing that somebody else is going to post on there and your reaction to the content and life that someone else is leaving. Ooh,
leaving.
Interesting.
Ooh, yeah, that was
Freudian
a weird slip.
Mm-hmm. kind of what's the point?
Yes.
Right? So the message is timeless, even if the format changes.
I totally agree. And one of my notes was that I would be really interested in his take on social media.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think he would, you know, I mean, he was a gentle person and would not be scathing about it. But I think he'd have a lot of questions about what value does it have and mm-hmm. what kind of gift is it giving you? Because
does
one
it
of
make
the things,
you happy?
Yeah. And one of the things that two of the quotes that I liked sort of relate to that. One is, we need to sustain ourselves by choosing our surroundings carefully and nourishing our awareness in each moment.
That's lovely.
And I think that's true both in the physical environment in which you choose to mm-hmm. be, but that he also says, watching a bad TV program, we become the TV program. And so you kind of, like, you're letting people into your brain mm-hmm. when you interact with them in whatever way. And why would you give that kind of control over to somebody who may not be very thoughtful or kind mm-hmm. in what they're delivering to you?
Well, that one's – so I'll talk about that one and then we'll go back to the other one. Mm-hmm. Because that one, you know how much I love TV.
Yes.
I love TV. I could spend a whole weekend just couch potatoing it up. And the content that I consume, I want to be entertaining or moving. I'm not just going to watch something because it's there.
Right.
Because that is how your mind turns into sludge.
Yep.
But things that bring you joy in other ways are just as good if you're willing to give them the headspace for that.
Right.
So the quote that you had about where you choose to live your life
yes.
and how you choose to do it. So this weekend was really nice weather-wise on Saturday and Sunday was kind of iffy. And I spent a ton of time outside because I love to garden and I'm trying to teach my three-year-old that this is fun too. And she has recently discovered her innate power over things that are smaller than herself, i.e., as I am
worms.
Pulling weeds and things like worms, which she loves, mm-hmm. but ants, right? So ants are tiny,
right.
and if you're moving things around, they pop up. And so her first inclination was to squish, mm-hmm. right? Because
mm-hmm. she can.
She can. I'm big. I can do that.
Yep.
And so we had a lot of repeated discussions about how we're in their space.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
This is outside. We don't want bugs in the house and we'll take them outside. But outside, this is where bugs live. We're just hanging out here for a little bit.
Yeah.
And so we don't want to interrupt their lives. We don't want to create a space where we don't have any bugs because then we won't have flowers. And then we won't have trees. And then we won't have food. Whole ecosystem of problems. And, you know, I don't think she's there yet. But it was just this little small reminder that we do choose the places that we're in.
Yeah.
And we choose the people and the things and the creatures and the plants and all those kind of things that we surround ourselves with as much as you can, knowing that, you know, I'm living in a first world nation
right.
where I have those types of options.
Right.
And I am choosing to live in a space that makes me happy and mindful of what we're surrounded by,
mm-hmm.
Which actually leads really nicely. I really liked this little – I can't think of them as chapters, micro chapter.
Sure.
Called What's Not Wrong.
Yes, I love that one too.
And the first sentence of that chapter says, we often ask people, what's wrong?
Right.
Question mark, period, whatever you want to put in there. But we don't really ask people, what's not wrong? Because why would you ask that of someone?
Right.
Why would I come up to you and say, like, Christine, what's not wrong today?
I could give you a big list.
Right?
Big, long list.
There are so many things that are not wrong today because there are so many things that are right and good and that make you feel connected and empathic and all the good stuff.
Yeah.
But we never ask that.
Right.
And I think people would look at you really weird if you did.
Right.
Right? And that chapter, I think more than any other ones, I kind of sat back and I was like, huh. Yeah. Okay. You're right. Got it.
Yeah. So one of the times that I have felt most grateful in my life was after I had a surgery. And it was a surgery that I was really scared about and I didn't know if it was going to, you know, go well or not. And it did. It went incredibly well. And
Yay.
So I was home sitting on my front porch looking at everything in this kind of like awe, just thinking, wow, everything is so beautiful. I'm so lucky. I'm just the luckiest person alive. And so I walked down the block to the drugstore. Mm-hmm. And as I walked, and I just kept thinking, wow, I'm so lucky to have lived here because I had access to doctors that no one else in the mm-hmm. world has. It was NIH, and we were just really lucky that we happened to live in NIH's backyard.
Yep.
And so I was really thinking that was so strong in my brain, and I was really thinking about that a lot. And so I'm walking in my neighborhood and thinking how lucky I was, and a bird pooped on my head.
Mm.
And I thought,
like they do.
Wow, wow, I guess that's the end of the lucky streak. So I get to CVS, and I go immediately into the bathroom, and I'm trying to get this bird poop out of my hair. Mm-hmm. And I'm laughing because it was so ridiculous.
What else are you going to do?
Right. And then I bought whatever I needed to buy, and I walked back, and...
Did it poop on you again?
No, but I immediately emailed one of my friends who has a great sense of humor and a very dry sense of humor. And I was like, hey, guess what? Lucky streak is over. But the good news was I had it while I had the surgery, because here's what happened. I got pooped on by when I was walking to CVS. And she wrote back immediately, no, that's still good luck.
Yeah, it's good luck.
So I was like, okay, so all I needed was a different perspective. Mm-hmm. Still great luck.
You know what? The perspective is you weren't looking up.
Whoa, when you got pooped on. Is very
right?
True.
That is a
true point.
That is a portion of a dad joke that I have been provided over the years.
Thank you.
You are so welcome. I will provide it with more chutzpah next time, but in general, that's still in there. So I mentioned earlier there was this whole section on like different ways you can meditate. So like there's a chapter on sitting meditation. There's a chapter on where you can meditate. And he's got this one little section in here called Sitting Anywhere.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember that?
Uh-huh.
So, you know, his whole deal is like you can take the time for yourself and for the people around you to feel good and to feel connected. And generally, it is not going to create a detriment. And he was talking about how he had a four-hour layover at, like, JFK or something. And he just rolled out a mat and plopped down, and people would stop by and ask him about it.
Right.
And he's trying to meditate, so stop asking him, one, obviously. But also, like, creating that type of awareness. And I started to think to myself, like, well, if I want to be the jerk, where am I going to go sit and meditate? So obviously I am not ready for high-level meditation or anything else in here, because my first thought was shenanigans. But I shenaned once, and I shall shenan again.
Oh, my God. You've actually become a father. That's just weird.
You are welcome. Oh, boy. You take the next one. I've got so many more jokes queued up.
Well, I think that the whole thing about breathing, and we're told over and over and over again that, you know, breathing is really important, and that's, you know, it can calm you down. It can have such great – and we take it for granted, and a lot of things – and to the point about what's not wrong is just the idea of everything we take for granted. Like, for many people, the very first thing we should be thankful for is that we're healthy.
Yeah.
And
housed.
And how frequently do we stop and think – wow, my body does pretty much everything I ask it to do.
Yep.
What we stop and think is, oh, I have a splinter. Oh, I just twisted my ankle. Or, oh, you know, my eye's twitching because I didn't get enough sleep. You know, like it's the little dumb things that we focus on instead of the whole thing of this incredible machine does what I ask it to do virtually all of the time. And for me, pain-free. Yep. Like, that's astonishing.
Yeah. Our gooey flesh people bodies. Like, I am not a doctor. I think that's obvious by now.
I feel like you are one. You're an honorary one.
Oh, I appreciate you honoring me that way, who was also not a doctor.
Okay.
The both of us are not doctors. And the fact that we, one, can get up and move around.
Yeah.
Two, can communicate to each other. And three, have these amazing squishy brains that, like, fire off neurons and receptors and tell us what to do generally.
Mm-hmm.
It is endlessly interesting that we are able to do the things that we're able to do, even if it's not with the same types of sensory products that, like, other species have out there.
Right.
We're just so lucky.
Yeah.
I think we're just so lucky.
And the other thing, this is maybe the time of year to be talking about this, but with it being spring, every spring I feel even more in awe of spring and the idea that these plants come back to life and push their way up through the soil just because they're programmed to do that. And it's just, it's astonishing to me that, and we don't really stop and look at it. Although I will say that one of my favorite things to do after coming home from work is to grab a beer, go outside and walk through my yard and see what's changed in the 24 hours since I last did it. And it's usually a lot, you know, and you miss it if you don't look.
You're going to have to come hang out with my three-year-old some more, because that is her M.O. We planted some flower seeds, I don't know, two or three weeks ago now. And so every day we go out just to see which ones have grown.
Yeah.
And there were a bunch of weeds in there still, because it's just a random flower bin that we're using. And those weeds, she claims them.
Sure.
I grew that weed. And you're like, no, honey, that's just like...
She watered it.
That's Bermuda grass, but it's fine. Whatever makes you happy. Whatever makes you feel connected to life. Well, this was an interesting pick. Thank you for having us do it.
Yeah. So one other thing, this was not in the book, but it's kind of in the same spirit of the book. A habit that I have tried to get myself into is to remove the word should from my vocabulary.
Coulda, shoulda, woulda.
I'm either going to do something or I'm not, and I'm not going to guilt myself into it. If it's something that I'm finding myself saying I should, then I have a decision to make. Am I going to do it or am I not going to do it? And if I'm not going to do it, let it go. But if I'm going to do it, go ahead and do it.
If you're going to do it, you should probably do it.
Hey, stop that, you. You are terrible. All right, so you enjoyed this book.
I did.
And even though it really was outside of both of our normal reading, what are you going to do to me next time?
Well, I don't want to ruin anything, but...
Too late.
Too late.
How many of these podcasts have there been?
All of them. All of the good ones. So I'm actually at a split in the road.
Mm-mm.
So I had initially told you that we were going to read An Immense World by Ed Yong next.
You did. That's
which
true.
Which is an amazing book. Ed Yong won one of the Nobel Prizes last year or the year before for his work on this book and his kind of background research for it. And it's all about animal sensory systems. Like humans don't have sonar.
Right.
And also, we probably can't fully understand how it works, but it is fascinating to research it and kind of glean what we can from it. And I'm a super big animal nerd, so that one was on the list. But you just told me that you don't think you're going to get it on time.
That is true. I will not.
So I think I have to pick a different
book. You're going to call an audible. And let me guess. Are you going to do it to me?
Have to.
Oh, my God. I have to read The Hobbit.
You do have to read The Hobbit. It's going to be so
Jeebus.
Much fun. It's also a short book.
No.
Yeah,
that
it's
is
very
not
short.
True.
It's very short. You'll love it. It's depending on where Christine lands in the hold line, it is very likely that we're going to read The Hobbit by Tolkien. If for some reason she, I don't know, goes out and decides she cannot handle it and purchases a copy of Immense World by Ed Yong, we'll do that one instead. I am open to either avenue. But those are the two that we're considering for next month. So, surprise, maybe you get to read two books.
Oh, wow, that's a lot. My ears.
So, you know, if you want to go the easy route, maybe you should read The Hobbit.
I either will or I won't.
Oh, you will or you won't.
Okay, well, thank you for joining us on this very kind podcast of You're Making Me Read What?
If this book wasn't your cup of tea, there are millions more where that came from.
And don't forget, you can always pick up these books and more at your local library.
So join us next month when we will be discussing one of two books. We will either be discussing An Immense World by Ed Yong or The Hobbit by Tolkien.
Aww.
The fates will decide. Aww. It's going to be a glorious day. Thank you so much and keep on reading.